How would you like to know the history of the cosmos, how it's stored, maybe your life as well? In a moment, Mona Wynn joins us as we talk about the Akashic Records on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Remember last week, John DeSalvo joined us talking about power crystals. Well, at that time, he mentioned Mona Wynn. Mona is an Akashic Record reader. She's able to tap into and interpret the record of each soul's journey from the beginning of time. This is amazing. Mona helps and understands the causes, consequences of soul choices, how it impacts money, relationships, career, and here she is on Coast to Coast. Mona, how are you?
I'm fantastic, George. It's 3 a.m. here in Boston, so we're very excited.
You know what? My mother was born in Fitchburg, not too far from there.
Not at all. We are a small community here in Boston, so we probably know her somehow.
And, you know, I spent many of my days in summers there going to Boston Red Sox games at Fenway Park. Just loved it.
Yay, you!
Great time. Learned how to eat fried clams, if you can believe it. They used to have these little fried clam shacks like there are McDonald's everywhere.
I know. Yeah, that is a very Bostonian thing. It makes us very, very homey. You should send all your viewers this way.
Mona, let's talk a little bit, first of all, about the Akashic Records. Explain what they are.
The Akashic Records basically are your soul's history from the beginning of time. And when I mean time, I mean from the first point of incarnation into any kind of embodiment. So it could be that in a physical body, it could be also in an astral body. So an Akashic Record reader basically looks at your whole journey and helps you understand at this point in time what you're about, what makes you strong, what your strengths are, what your brilliance is. So you can do that for anything, George. You can do that for a house. You can do that for an animal, a plant, a rock. When I work with John, actually, he sends me pictures of things, and I will tell him, like, you know, this is from this part of the world, and this is what it says to me, and this is what it's about. So anything can be read.
Well, remember, as we were growing up as kids, Mona, we were always told that when you die, there's the good book, and that book has your entire life in it. Whatever you've done in your life, good, bad, it's there. Are the records, the Akashic Records, like that?
Pretty much, but it just doesn't encompass your life, this particular life. It's all aspects of you. So it could be your physical life, yeah, this lifetime, or it could be millions of lifetimes, anywhere in the galaxy, George. We can go anywhere you want to go.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about what a typical Akashic Record looks like. Can you explain that?
Well, you know, when I enter someone's records, I am very clairvoyant. So I start seeing pictures. I start seeing like a movie screen pop up in front of me. And I will tap into that movie screen and start describing to you. For example, oh, I see you in the Civil War time, and this is what's happening. Some situations, people, I hear the sound of their voice, or the person actually will start talking to me. So I'll hear their voice in my head, describing the actual record and their history. So it depends on who the person is. I've noticed more left-brain people, I usually hear it as information, and very right-brain people, I'll see it as a movie screen in front of me. And rarely I'll see it like data, like all these numbers, you know, like
right.
The Matrix.
Yeah, how do you tap into their life? How does that work?
Well, the easiest way is, actually there are two ways you can do this. You can enter someone through their cell structure, basically like reading their cells, and that is how the library is stored in the body, in the subconscious mind, in the cells. Or you can project yourself, so to speak, into another dimension and move energetically. And the way I describe it is, it's like being in a hypnotic state. You're kind of in alpha theta mode. Your brain waves are at that mode. And when you're doing that, it looks like you're channeling, like it's channeled, but you're just tapping that particular dimension and that particular wave frequency. And we would love to say that it's somewhere over there in another dimension. But the way I look at it is, the Akashic Records are everywhere. Within you.
What do you prefer in terms of getting into someone's record and the technique you use?
I like going somewhere, George. I really do, because sometimes when you're reading someone, they psychic work, they will start projecting their thoughts to you because they want you to pick up on something. So you can, you know, if you're new at it being an Akashic record, you may pick up their psychic thoughts and think that you're reading their records. But if you go somewhere, I just say it's data. I'm getting this, this, and this. And there's no emotion attached to it. It's just pure information. And then the person can evaluate it and go, it's interesting that you bring that up because X, Y, and Z.
Mona, did the Akashic record history, did it begin with, the Hindu philosophy? How old is it, at least our knowledge of it?
it is very ancient. I mean, all ancient civilizations have an Akashic record. If you look at the Aborigines, they have the dream time. It comes through a story form a lot of times. And over time, it progressed. Yes, in the Indian culture, I am Indian. In our culture, you know, there was more data that was gathered about entering the Akashic records, and it was stated as the information that's embedded into the particles around you, so to speak, the cosmos. And very few people actually were allowed into the Akashic records, because if someone is reading your soul record, George, you don't want them to really be messing around in there. You want them to go look and have a picnic. You want them to go in and come back out. So very, very few people for a long time were allowed into the Akashic records, but that's changing now. That's started to change, I've noticed, in the last 10 years.
Is the soul record, the Akashic record, is it based on your past, including past lives, or also your future?
It's all of you. So, yes, it's past, present, future. When you do it, the past aspect of it, you're looking at it from all the experiences and choices that you have made. And when you're looking into the future, if I'm working with somebody and someone asks me a future question, I will tell them all possibilities that could be determined by their choice that they're going to make. So as soon as you say something, of course, the person is going to make a choice, and then the possibility changes. So the future is lots of open doors. And the choice isn't made until the person actually says, yes, I'm going towards this particular door. So that's always open.
If the wrong person, Mona, gets into your records, into you, your history, your cosmos history, can they alter it? Can they change it?
Absolutely, they can.
That's not good.
No, it's not a fun event, I can say that. But this is kind of cool. When I started, I was very gung-ho about entering my own records, and I kind of pushed my way in, and there's some information that your record, you have guides there that also observe everything and monitor everything, and they would like you to actually experience something first before you try to get all the answers. We are very impatient. Human beings are incredibly impatient, but they would like you to actually have the experience, so they encourage you to wait. So I wanted the answers, so they kept throwing me out. I actually had the feeling of like being kicked out of a club, like a bouncer grabbing me and throwing me out. and then the second time I went back in, all the answers were yes, 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 yes. And I went, okay, I get the point. So there is some protection from your guides, but it's a little bit tricky. It depends on what kind of quality of guide you have. Sometimes there are negative guides that are sitting there from lifetimes that have never been cleared out. And if a reader comes in with their own motivation, they want to affect this person, they can shift things. If they have the capacity, they can do it, if they have the capability.
So a reader, if they're out to get you, they have this capability of getting into your Akashic records, altering your future somehow, and you might not even know that, would you?
You would, actually. All my clients tell me that when I enter their records, they can sense it.
Really?
Perhaps it's just part of my energy system. It's just that they will tell me, Mona, were you in my records on Tuesday at 2 o'clock?
Well, maybe it's because you don't hide yourself. Is that possible?
That's absolutely accurate. Because I'm actually getting permission. If someone wants to work with me, they're giving me permission. I'm not just going into your record because it's interesting to me.
You're not
going to
spy on us.
No, I would never do that.
You mean you didn't go into my records before the show?
No, I didn't. All right. I didn't, George.
Right.
I let it be totally holy.
Edgar Cayce, the late great American prophet, talked about the Akashic records. Exactly. What did he say?
He actually was phenomenal because his ability was based in putting himself in such a deep hypnotic state that when he was, he looked like he was sleeping, that when he would access the Akashic Records, he would pinpoint exactly what the information was that he was working with. And because he had no emotional ties, it was pure data, he was very, very, very accurate. Actually, there's so much research done on him. If people are interested, then there's an association for his research and enlightenment called ARE in Virginia Beach.
Yep. Good organization.
Phenomenal. They have all his case studies and all the information about what he said recorded. Lucky for me, I don't really need to sleep through my sessions. It's very helpful. So being in a awake state and then and going into that sort of alpha theta mode is a lot more easier, I've noticed. Although he is amazing.
Now, how did they get the name Akashic Records? What does that mean?
Akashic actually means Akasha, which is the primordial substance from which everything comes from. It's a Sanskrit word. Sanskrit is Indian. And during that time period in India where they were really trying to tap into all the dimensions, they came across this piece of information that had all everybody's data on it all from the beginning of time and called it the Akasha and then the Akashic Records. And there is also in Christianity, the Book of Life. In Egyptian, there's Thoth, who is the scriber of the Akashic Records. So a lot of cultures have the Akashic Records. It's just the words are different.
So if you had 15 reincarnated lives, would they all be in these records?
They would be, but most people have hundreds, if not thousands, of reincarnated lives. And at this point in time, only certain amounts of them affect them. Not all of them will affect, only certain ones. And it's interesting, when I observe someone's records, what I see is, first, they will look sort of down onto the planet if they're choosing to be a physical body, and they look at parents and say, those two over there, they look familiar. I think I've worked with them before, or maybe not. But this time around, I want to try X, Y, and Z. So I'm going to pick them because they're going to create the environment for that to happen or not. There's a choice point.
Mona, why the records? What's their purpose?
That is a brilliant question. Part of it is that the essence of oneness is, when you have a record, you have something to follow that tells you who you be.
Mm-hmm.
Not who you are, not what you do as a job, your purpose in life is a job, but who you be. Do you bring love? Do you bring light? And the record shows that, like, through all galaxies, what you be in presence of oneness, what aspect of oneness there is. So being able to kind of look into your own book gives you that remembrance, that reminder of that's really why I chose to do this, to kind of hang around and try out this human thing. And being on the planet, we forget very quickly because we get very involved with life experience. It's very interesting here. Very interesting.
By being a reader of one's records, when you come back and talk with them and you're willingly going in, they're letting you in, they know you're there. What do you come back with? And then what do you tell them? What are you trying to help them with?
A lot of times, George, the questions I ask about is, who am I? And why am I really, really here? And a lot of people, they know that they're different. They can sense it deep within them. And that's why they're even attracted to the kind of work I do. And they're trying to figure out what that is, what that energy is. So when I go into someone's record and they say, this time around, what am I up to? Like, what's my plan of action here? It's like it gives them that information. It gives them that, really? Wow. The stuff that I've known about myself or taken for granted is actually my strength. It's my gift. It's my contribution. Absolutely. So it's time to step into it and own it.
Have you ever gone into someone's record and you felt or saw something from their past or future that you didn't like, something that was scary, something they did that might have been horrible?
Yes, I have. I've actually been in the Akashic Records with people who have been murderers and rapists.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is because you are watching a movie, you actually see, at least I do, I don't know how another Akashic Record reader does, but I see the movie very quickly. I will see the whole thing, but luckily I observe and not absorb. So I'm not taking in the emotion, I'm watching it and going, okay, and then I link it to now saying, okay, when that lifetime you made this choice, so where is that affecting you now, if it is? Because sometimes you can bring that consequence with you in this lifetime.
Well, Mona, if they were murderers in the past, will they be murderers in the present and the future, or does that diminish?
It diminishes by choice. So let's say in that past life, they were a murderer, they sort of came out of it.
Or a serial killer, let's say. Let's say he was a serial killer.
Well, what I notice is that when you leave the body and you go into an energetic space, you have an opportunity to sort of sit with a guide of the Akashic Records and look through what you did and who you were and sort of reevaluate if that is something that you want to continue doing and what you learned from it, what the point of it was, and what new choice you're going to make. So it's not guaranteed that someone who does something in the past is going to do it again if they choose that, no, I think I've tried that one out and it sucked and I want something new now. But there's some people who say, you know what, I like the power of that. I want to do that again.
Would you tell them that they were murderers in a past life or they're going to be a murderer in a future life?
I'm very careful with that. Most of us don't like to hear anything negative about ourselves.
Yeah, but maybe you could help them or correct it.
Yes. If it really affects them from a choice point of view, I will bring it up, you know. So, you know, there's all this chaos or this energy of anger or hatred or fury that's going through your beingness right now that's affecting future choices. And the way I explain it is if you carry this into your beingness, you carry it into a future possibility. Do you want to do that? Is that a choice you really want to make?
What do they generally tell you?
Oh, you know, I mean, I've never heard anyone say, no, pick me to be the serial killer next time around.
Yeah, they don't volunteer to be that.
No, they usually go, been there, done that, okay, whatever that was, let's move on quickly from it.
And you get into it in a meditative state, how do you do it?
I started off doing that, but now as soon as someone gives me permission to enter, my mind just goes there. And just starts accessing the information.
Do you have to physically be there with them, or could you do it like if callers call you next hour, can you do it that way, or do you have to physically be there?
No. It's their voice and their name that activates it for me at this point. So the distance doesn't even apply. I mean, like when John works with me or asks me to assist him, he will send me pictures of things. And, you know, it's in the email, and I get to it at the end of the day or the next morning whenever I'm done with my work. And then send him the answer. So it's just, you know, as long as there's some sort of communication between me and the thing or the person, then it activates the opening of it.
If I give you permission after this break here that's coming up in a second to go into my past, would you be able to tell me who I was, what I did, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I just need permission, George.
Well, maybe we'll try that. That might be kind of novel, and there's, of course, many more questions I want to ask you. Mona, if people want to just track you and find more information on you, of course, your website, lifeintegrity.com, that's what I have. Is that the one?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
Lifeintegrity.com. We've got that linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com for Mona Nguyen. More questions for her as we talk about the Akashic Records, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to have her, with my permission, to go into my past. Let's see how many lives she can see, and gosh, I have no idea what I did in my past. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Mona Nguyen as we talk about the Akashic Records. She's an Akashic Record reader. And I've got some more questions, and I think I'll let her probe into my life when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Mona Nguyen, our special guest tonight. Mona, Edgar Cayce, he did so many trances that it weakened him and he died. Do you ever feel as if that could happen to you?
It's something that I actually don't choose. So maybe that's why I am awake when I do it. I'm not in that deep level of trance. And also at any time, if I want to get out of it, I do. I just simply exit the record if it feels overwhelming to my energy system. But the difference, George, is that it's very important when you enter the records that you're not absorbing the energy of the records or the experience of the person.
Explain that, the energy of the records.
Well, the energy of the records is very, very intense, and it's quite beautiful in the sense it's overwhelming love and kindness and joy, but there's also that aspect of that personality that you're dealing with. So if you're working with somebody who is going through a lot of changes in their life, a lot of transition, and their energy is moving and chaotic, if you're not just observing it, you will start feeling it, and when you leave the records, you might take that energy with you. I'm very, very particular about leaving everything behind when I work.
Do you find yourself that you have to, you know, eat well and take care of yourself to do this?
Yes, absolutely. The amount of energy that is used up is pretty massive. Even just doing a session where you are, you know, when you're in there, you're looking at multiple energy streams. You're looking at multiple past lives. If I'm working on clearing someone's energy, I'm trying to find it maybe from 1,000 lifetimes. So I'm scanning, you know, the way I describe it, I'm scanning. I'm looking through books, you know, you're like flipping through books really, really quickly. So you have to have an incredible amount of focus. And when you come out of it, if you're not taking care of yourself, you can burn out pretty quickly.
Yeah, you sure can. Do you also pick up information from outside other sources, other galaxies? How far out can you go?
Quite often, there's a lot of star seeds on this planet, so there's a lot of people that are from other galaxies. So if I interact with somebody who believes themselves to be a star seed and I pick it up, then their particular universe will open up to me as well, like wherever they came from, so to speak, where home is. So it's really not me going and searching for it. It's the person that I'm working with that activates and opens the door for me, and then I participate with it. That allows me to go there with them, so to speak, and then download the information on their behalf on where they come from, what they're about, and what their core energy type is.
Mona, who is the recorder of the Akashic Records? I mean, who's in charge of it, if there is anybody?
Well, you know, we would like to project that there is. The Egyptians said Thoth, who is the scriber, was the one in charge of it. You know, when I started, there would be an Akashic Record guide or someone who protects it. But we are really in charge of our own Akashic Records. We are the ones who write it or clear it, depending on what we do. You know, if you're willing to shift something, then you're going to rewrite your own Akashic Records, or you ask an Akashic Record reader to assist you in that. And integrity is very crucial when they work with you. What is their motive in the whole thing? Why are they doing the work that they're doing?
All right, let's take a few minutes and let's do what you have to do to me. Here we go. So I have to give you verbal permission or what?
No, you already did before the break.
I did not. No, I did.
You did.
I did. Okay.
So you know, one of the things that the first lifetime that actually came up for you is very strongly about Shakespeare's timeline. And the time where you were a writer in creating a lot of written material. It is in your energy type to be a teacher and a communicator. You've done it multiple lifetimes. You have been here. This is your 1,893rd lifetime.
Wow. And so I go way back.
Yeah. You know, I would affectionately say you may be older than dirt.
I may be older than. Maybe I witnessed Adam and Eve, huh?
Why not? You know, absolutely. In your energy type, you came here with a particular energy, and it was about truth. You know, everyone has a signature, and your signature is truth. So it doesn't matter what lifetime that you interact with and what job you do, you're going to search for the core level of truth in anything. You'll do it scientifically. You'll do it through communication, verbally, energetically. You've done that many times. You've done a psychic many times. You've done healing. You've been in Greece. You see a lot of Greek lifetimes for you.
What kind of professions did I have? Does it matter?
Well, you know, quite often philosopher, if that is a profession. You know, I guess during the Greek times it would actually be regarded as that. A few times as a sailor, someone who was wanting to move or travel the world and explore it in the physical standpoint.
I ended up being a Navy guy in this life.
Oh, okay. Well, there would be a love for the ocean because of those lifetimes where you were traveling the earth. There would be a constant love of the water and being near the water. That's still going to prevail for you. Also, the place that you actually originated from, where truth abides, so to speak, in the galaxy, there is a lot of water. It's very, very emerald green water. So you are always going to find yourself close to water as much as you can.
Was I on other planets?
You originated from another planet.
I did. I mean, all right.
Yeah. Your capacity, you're very fast. That means that you process data very quickly and you understand different dimensions really quickly. So that usually is one of the very quick ways that I can tell that someone is not really from here, because you have a willingness to explore that most people that are Earther might not be interested in. You know, it's beautiful here. They enjoy their time here. But going into galaxies and talking about paradigms and wormholes, and that doesn't interest them as much in comparison.
I was generally a pretty good guy.
Yeah, you had some moments.
Assuming I was a guy, but
yeah, exactly. I mean, you had some moments. I mean, you have been mostly in the masculine energy, but you have done female energy too, and very much like the head of the family energy. Always like the head of the family, making sure everyone's together.
All right, you don't see me as a murderer or anything like that in the past.
Like you said, there's a couple here and there, but not like from, you know, this is 1,892 other lifetimes. It's not the majority of them.
That's right. You can't blame me for some little indiscretions I might have had.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, here and there, it's okay.
I mean, was I a caveman once?
I actually don't see you as a caveman. I actually see you as immediately coming into a human body, skipping that time period. You just sort of came straight into the body and immediately got involved with this planet and what it was about and learning about it and also teaching other people about it. You are, in your dreams and in your sleep, sending a lot of data to another galaxy. You are very, very busy. You're very, very active.
You mean I'm doing that now, or I did that?
You do that now. Even now, you're constantly sending information away, or teaching, so to speak, is the best way I can describe it. You're teaching from one galaxy to another, from Earth to somewhere else. And that's part of your sort of energy title, like teacher. You're meant to be doing that.
Interesting. Interesting. And what about, can you see when you look at the Akashic Records, Mona, can you see their life? Did they have families and stuff? Do you go that far? Or is it just that person, that individual?
Well, it depends on what. Sometimes when you're working with somebody, they may have their mate or their child or their grandchild or uncle or aunt was from another lifetime, and they've sort of come back. Quite often, people come back in soul group families where they've done quite a few lifetimes together, and they sort of come back in that group because there's a comfort level. And they just switch roles. Sometimes you're the dad, sometimes you're the mom, you're the kid. And you keep moving around roles. And that's usually a soul group. And they're usually about seven. In that soul group, there's about seven people that are involved. Is it every single lifetime that happens? No, but it can happen quite often. In that case, then someone will tell me, and I feel very connected to X, Y, and Z, and I said, well, let's just look at their records and see how many times you have been together.
I would have loved to have witnessed Jesus, not in a religious sense, but just to witness what he did and how he did it. Would I have been there?
This is interesting. You were there right after he left. So you heard about him.
I missed it.
It's kind of like you were at the tail end of the energy, but you were very young. I see you as a very young boy. So you would have been maybe 7 or 8 years old when you just were told about this being. And you started following that sort of mystic route with that information.
Might he have been on the planet while I was seven?
Yes, he was on the planet while you were born and up to that age, and then he left, and then it was sort of like the word spread that this being existed and what had happened.
Was I in that region?
Yeah, you were in that region. Yeah, that's how you would have learned about it.
I'm always in that region.
You were very young. I mean, you were very young when this story, so to speak, started spreading about this man. But you picked up on it really fast, because at that age you would not even have any rules about what's right and wrong. You would just go, oh, wow, what is that? What is that energy? And you followed it. You did follow it for quite a long time, trying to embody what he was trying to teach and explain. And it was very pure at that point. It hadn't been changed. What had been written, which changed a lot of it, it was still in the pure form, which is a trigger for you even now, because again, you look for the truth in everything.
What about the future? My future. What have I done? What will I be doing?
In about 3 more lifetimes, you're not going to be on this planet. Your work here, I don't even want to call it work. Your experience here is done.
3 more lifetimes. So
yeah,
a couple hundred years.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it depends on how you can choose to be come and go within like 10 years, or you know, you can do 50 years or 100
I'm
years.
I'm moving on up.
You're just becoming a different energy form.
Or am I moving on down? You know?
No, you're moving on up. No worries there.
Good.
No, you're moving. You have 3 more. Like, what are your records are saying is you have 3 more lifetimes here, and the reason you're doing that on purpose is because you waited for this time period to come, this shift of energy, and to be participating in it, and you also want to see what comes about from it, like what the result of it.
Will I ever come back?
You mean after the 3 lifetimes?
Yeah. Or am I leaving good old planet Earth?
It looks like you're pretty much done. You're like cooked and you're gone. You're like, okay, I saw it.
I'm leaving the building, aren't I?
Yeah, Elvis is leaving the building, absolutely.
Huh. Fascinating. Overall? Not a bad run, right?
You know, yes, for being 1,893 lifetimes old, yeah, pretty good.
See, I always thought because of reincarnation, you just keep coming back until you reach perfection. But I thought it would take maybe 3 or 4 of them, you know, reincarnated lives, not 1,000.
Yeah.
And you say it takes that almost that much for everybody?
It depends. I mean, some you know,
Pope. The Pope got to where he is. He's got to be enlightened. Did he have 1,000 past lives too?
You know, the amount of past lives you have does not determine enlightenment. What determines enlightenment is the choices you make in those lifetimes. And if you step up to having no judgment and no separation from others. So he doesn't necessarily, you know, insinuate that he's enlightened because he's the Pope. He's on a different kind of journey.
What about the Dalai Lama? Same thing?
The Dalai Lama is very different energetically. The Dalai Lama has actually verbally decided not to come back, you know. So he is moved on. He has reached his own energy of, I'm complete here and I need to move on. By him choosing that for his own people, by making that decision, he stops functioning from the 3D sort of physical plane energy. He's done.
Somewhere on this planet, is there the person who was once Julius Caesar or, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, you know, people like that from the past? Are they still here in some form or fashion?
There is, you know, when you think of, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, when you think about Stephen Hawking, the
physicist,
he's very much Leonardo da Vinci. And in the creation of and the embodiment of expansion. It's not very typical that you will find them come through that way, that profoundly. A lot of times they're hidden and they're quiet. A lot of people will ask me, you know, was I from royalty or was I... It's not very common. That's not very, very common to be like a famous figure from the past. It's very rare, actually.
There was a person years ago called C.W. Ledbetter, and he claims that he researched the Akashic Records and that, you know, he recorded the history of Atlantis and also future societies on the planet well into the 2900th year on this planet. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this guy?
No, I haven't, actually.
C.W. Ledbetter.
I'll have to look him up.
He claims that he was a clairvoyant, and he researched it, and I'm not sure if he's around anymore. He probably passed on.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, George, is that as we are choosing different things on this planet right now, as the energy is shifting with so much expansion going on, also those choices that we have made are changing because our current choices create a future reality. So his information may be precise to a certain degree, and some of it may also have shifted because we are choosing new things every single day. And we're willing to go into a space that we have never done or gone before. So that would be interesting for me to read, too, because in comparison to where he was at and what's going on now.
Can you help heal someone with their records?
I can assist them in it, yes, absolutely, because it's their soul choosing to heal themselves, pretty much. So, you know, if the soul takes the directive, sort of, yes, I'm willing to move through this, and I'm going to do it now instantaneously, absolutely. That possibility is very strong. I use actually the Akashic records in a lot of clearing work and healing work that I do. I enter the records and find out where in the timeline a choice has been made that affects that person right now. And if that choice can be changed, and then it shifts their physical body here and now and their life and every part of their life.
How important is astral projection in this mix?
It's a comfort level. I personally don't have an interest in astrally projecting. I just have an awareness of so many different kinds of entities around that when I have astrally projected, I tend to get sidetracked and notice those and start wanting to clear them. So I would rather be in my own space and then just take my brainwave frequency to the location than actually do all of that.
Were you always this way? Are you, you know, were you born this way or did you develop this skill?
I presume I was born this way because I remember being 12 years old and having a discussion with an aunt of mine about soul purposes and soul journeys. And when my father passed away when I was 18, at the moment that he passed, I sort of knew that he had gone. He had left the planet. And I also understood, I got the download on why he had to go, what I had to do with it, why I picked him as my father. And then, you know, for a while, you sort of avoid being weird. You just don't want to be weird. You don't tell anyone. You just sort of keep it to yourself. And then about 10 years later, I said, it's time. It's time for me to sort of go and move into this and see what this is all about that I'm getting information-wise. What does it even mean? I mean, what am I supposed to do with it? And then that allowed me to start reading and researching and just using what was natural and creating it into a skill.
Mona, has there been anybody that you cannot read? For some reason, they block you.
Yes. Absolutely. And it's not them that blocks me, actually. This is a fascinating thing. It's their guide that will shut me down. And it's usually a negative guide, a guide that has been with them for many, many experiences and doesn't want something new to change in that person's life. So they have the capacity to say, no, you can't enter and get information. But again, I have the skill level to clear the guide if the person asks me to. If I tell them, look, I have a negative guide I'm working with here, I'm not going to get any data because I can't access your information. They're stopping me. Can you give me permission that I clear it? Then you can access it. Then you're allowed in.
The guide gets jealous, huh?
Well, it's a control thing almost, you know? It's like, it's been this way, so who are you to change it, and why are you here, and go away.
Mona, we're going to come back with you in just a moment, and we're going to take phone calls with you as we talk about the Akashic Records on Coast to Coast AM.